Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
I'm done talking about pizza. Dr. Copen is going to yell at us because this probably isn't even a healthy topic for Dr. Jeffrey Topen. He's the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Dr. Copen, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. You know, John, I'm thinking I'm going to surprise you with this content.
All right.
Good pizza in moderation is fantastic for one's overall health.
Hold on, I'm writing this down. I'm going to get you to sign
that. Tell your wife. Copen says it's okay. But moderation's the key, right? Moderation in all things. But good pizza, it's good for the body. It's good for the soul. Probably better for the soul.
Does that mean you can have a whole pizza in one sitting and then not have another one for a week? Is that moderation?
If that's your definition of moderation, go for it. I'm okay with that.
That's the wrong answer, doctor. Ask me that, Steve. Steve, go ahead. Ask that question.
So, again. John, is it okay to have a whole pizza once and then not another one for a week?
No, shut up. That's a bad idea. That's not what it's all about. I think I saw somewhere this week, doc, that it's not. I know where I saw it. We have a little message board on the elevator when we ride up, and I'm on the 18th floor, so I usually get two or three messages, and it said that losing weight, and maybe that's different than what we're talking about, it's not about the food you eat, it's about the portions. So if you have pizza, I took it to mean, have a couple slices, but don't eat the whole pizza, Steve. What do you think of that, Doc?
I if that works for somebody, I'm all for it. If somebody wants to go for that additional slice, but they'll cut back on something else, that will work too. It's pizza. It should be fun. We should enjoy it. And let's just be careful with everything else we eat, so we keep our weight in, in check, and we're able to do it. You know, I also with the last caller, I agree about the sauce, but if you're going to have a thin crust, that crust better be good, nice and crunchy and delicious. That's the key, I think, to a good thin crust.
I don't know if this is your bailiwick necessarily, but I was eating a pizza the other day, and I was eating the green peppers and the tomatoes and the onions, and I thought these are all vegetables. Is the nutritional value of those vegetables cooked on a pizza the same as if I just ate them lightly sautéed or raw? I mean, I know the cheese and the sausage is probably bad for me, but the green pepper in a pizza is still green pepper. It still serves the same value to me as if I ate it in a salad. But I don't know if that's true, doctor. Do you have any insight into that idea?
If the green pepper is not overcooked, it still has the same nutritional value. You know, obviously, the amount of green pepper that you're eating on a pizza usually is not going to be as much as the amount of the fresh green pepper that is not cooked that you're eating on, say, a fresh green salad. So, you know, we can't kid ourselves that we're necessarily getting our daily requirement of fresh vegetables by eating pizza. But it is a good try to think of it.
Well, I mean, are you saying that cooking the green pepper, for instance, reduces the nutritional value?
Yeah, so most vegetables are best when they're eaten fresh. As we cook them, there are certain nutrients that will come out of the vegetable and will not be available. Lightly sautéing is better than cooking them full. So those kinds of things have to be thought about, but I much prefer that people try to eat vegetables in any form than not eat vegetables at all.
Masks are coming off April 18th on airplanes. Do you think the timing on that is right, doctor?
Yeah, I've been pretty comfortable on airplanes. Commercial airplanes have very good ventilation and filtration systems. They increase the amount of fresh air that comes in. There has not been, to my knowledge, a super spreader event on an airplane, and there have been tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of flights now, particularly since over the last year. So the fact that there hasn't been super spreader events should make people feel pretty good about it. And I think the time has come that we can do without masks. Now, having said that, if somebody is nervous about it, please wear a mask on the plane. Just because the mandatory nature of the mask is being lifted does not mean that somebody who wants to wear a mask cannot wear a mask. And particularly those people who are really concerned make sure you have an N95 or a KN95 and it fits well, and you should feel pretty good going out with that.
Are you seeing people wearing masks in environments where they don't have to?
Yes. And, I would say it a little bit differently. Even though there isn't a mandate to wear a mask in certain places, if somebody feels more comfortable wearing a mask, if their own personal analysis of the available data say that, hey, I should be wearing a mask, if people have particular risks, should they get the COVID virus, that they might get sick, please continue to wear a mask. I mean, we have to, each one of us have to make the right decision for us.
Yeah.
So even though a mask mandate is lifted, don't hesitate to wear a mask if that's what you want to do.
Well, your mental health is something too. And heck, how many of us have gone 2 years without a cold or the flu? We'll pick it up here in just a minute with Dr. Copin. Jeffrey Copin joins us on Tuesdays at this time. This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. We're visiting with Dr. Jeffrey Copin from Northwestern's Lake Forest Hospital. Doctor, should we change our behavior with the BA2 variant out there now?
No. BA2 variant is nothing to be fearful of. It turns out what we know of Omicron, when it was first identified back in November, there really were three different types of what we now know is Omicron. There was BA1, which is the Omicron virus that made its way through the United States starting back in December. And thankfully, we seem to be just about done with that now. And then there was this thing we now know as BA2. That was around two. It's only now that it's really starting to take hold in other places in particular. There's places in Europe that has a whole lot of this, China, Hong Kong, New Zealand, of all places. There's a lot of BA2. Here in the United States, I think we're going to see more BA2, it's here now. It's about a quarter of all the cases that we're seeing. And there'll probably be more. And we might even see a little bit of an increase in the total number of cases because of it, because it's even more infectious, John, than what the BA1, the original Omicron, was. But it doesn't seem to cause severe disease in most people, particularly those mm-hmm. who are vaccinated. So I don't think we're going to see a big problem from it. We will see more of it. So my advice to everybody is the same advice we've always had. If you have not been vaccinated, please go out, get vaccinated. If you qualify for that third dose of vaccine and you haven't gotten it yet, go ahead and get it. This will be a good time to prepare for the possibility that we start to see a whole bunch of this BA2 around.
I wonder if that's what Jen Psaki had. The White House press secretary tested positive for COVID. She had not been in direct contact with the president, it sounds like. The president has since tested negative himself. She's going to isolate, she said, for only 5 days. I guess that's the new protocol. But here's the thing, doctor. It sounds like she had no idea. She was just going to, she took the COVID test to get on the plane to fly with the president for these NATO hearings in Europe. And then they go, hey, you've got COVID. She said she had no idea. Or that her symptoms were very, very mild. One imagines that she didn't even know. And I thought maybe that's the way it is now. Maybe there's plenty of us walking around with this new variant and don't even realize it.
That could be. And, you know, John, thinking back even to the beginning of the pandemic, that was true. There were lots of people who were infected and didn't even know it.
No, it was me.
They had no symptoms or they were minimally symptomatic.
So what's the takeaway from that then? Because Dr. Most has said to us that really don't be so afraid of the virus. Just try not to get sick or be hospitalized. Maybe it's not such a crisis that you or I have some version of COVID as long as all of us can manage it physically. What do you think of that thought, doctor?
All right, so you're asking me if I agree with my colleague, Dr. Most. I better think about that.
I'm trying to gin up a little controversy here and there. I may have misquoted him. I mean, he's not a reckless person, mind you, but the object of the game is first don't be hospitalized, then don't be debilitated sick. Of course, don't spread it. But the idea that you have COVID-19 in some form isn't a... It's not cancer, you know. You might get the flu someday, too. Anyway, go ahead and talk, Doc.
Yeah, so I agree with that statement. And Kevin and I, we've actually discussed this quite a bit. For the majority of the population, getting COVID, being infected with COVID, is not to be afraid of. The vast, vast majority of people do fine. Having said that, that group of people who are older, have chronic illnesses of various kinds, are immunosuppressed, those are the people that still need to be careful. Because if they do get COVID, it is possible to have a severe case. Now, having said that, the good news is that we now have antiviral medications that we did not have before. And those antiviral medications are quite effective, and they're effective against both BA1 and BA2, both of the major variants of the Omicron. So that this is all good. So I really do agree with Dr. Most. People should live their lives, take the appropriate precautions for each individual, and let's try to get past the anxiety that so many people have about the virus. It's been around for 2 years. We know how to deal with it. Let's live our lives.
What's your wisdom on the fourth vaccine, Doctor? The fourth, the second booster, if you will.
Yeah, well, I'm getting so many questions about that, John, and appropriately. You know, people want to know what to do. Several countries in the world have decided to go ahead and give fourth shots to people over the age of 65. They're doing it in Britain and in Germany and in Israel. Our FDA is currently reviewing data submitted to it by both Moderna and Pfizer, so the two manufacturers of the mRNA vaccines. And I think by April, probably by mid-April, we'll have recommendations coming out of FDA and then CDC, and we'll have a data-driven approach to this. So it's premature right now to make a blanket recommendation for our population about a fourth dose of the mRNA.
I'm going to leave it at that. That's Dr. Jeffrey Coben. I don't know why I keep saying Coben. It's Copen, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital. Okay, Doc, let's visit again next week. Thanks for your time.
All right. You take care. Everybody be well out there. Bye-bye.
No, that's the idea. And remember, he said that in moderation, it's okay to have pizza. I was really glad he talked about the nutritional value of the cooked vegetables on the pizza, because I think I've been kidding myself.